Welcome to the Montgomery Community Church podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you to grow deeper in your faith. If you'd like to learn more about MCC, you can visit our website at mcc.church.
Well, wouldn't that be awesome? Just kind of randomly win the lottery. I would consider that a pretty good day. But let me ask you, what was the best day of your life? So, best day of your life. For me, that's actually a pretty easy answer. The best day of my life was my wedding day. Because not only did I get to marry the guy that I had a crush on since I was a teenager, but we were surrounded by family and friends from all seasons of our lives in one room at the same time. It was amazing. And I remember this moment like it was yesterday. I will never forget this moment because Peter and I were introduced as husband and wife, and we stood there in awe that all of these people, friends and family, accepted our wedding invitation and made plans and traveled and were there to celebrate with us. Now, weddings are such a joyous occasion because it's a new beginning. There's excitement and there's anticipation, and especially when it comes to royal weddings. Now, did you know that back in 2011, when Prince William married Kate Middleton, the global audience was estimated to be 162 million viewers. The wedding actually was listed in the 2012 Guinness Book of World Records for the most live streams for a single event. And then in 2018, when Prince Harry, his brother, married Meghan Markle, the global audience was estimated to be in the hundreds of millions of viewers, hundreds of millions. We as a society are fascinated by royal weddings. And now the Bible declares that there will be a royal heavenly wedding that will top all weddings. And that is the union of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And there will also be a royal heavenly feast, the marriage feast of the Lamb. And the amazing thing about this heavenly wedding is that you and I will not be watching a live stream from afar, because God wants you and me to be at the wedding banquet, because we are all invited. In the parable of the wedding banquet recorded in Matthew 22, which is our text for today, we'll discover the nature of this invitation and the response that God desires from all of us. Now, Jesus makes an interesting statement at the end of this parable when he says, "For many are invited, but few are chosen." And many of us read this verse and we think, Jesus said, what? Is God choosing favorites? And that's actually a reasonable question, because there are some Christians who believe that God pre-selects only some people for salvation. And yet Jesus makes it clear in Matthew 22 and in Luke 14 that everyone is invited to his table, not just some. And so to better understand what Jesus means in Matthew 22, let's back up to Matthew 21 to examine the context in which this parable was written. And so Matthew 21 begins by describing Palm Sunday. And so here we find Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, and people are going crazy with excitement. They're waving palm branches and shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And right after this, Jesus heads toward the temple, and it is a chaotic scene. There are people buying and selling merchandise, and Jesus becomes infuriated. He clears the temple and drives out those who were selling. And this is where it gets interesting, because the very next day, Jesus makes his way back to the same temple. And while on his way, Matthew describes how Christ talked to a fig tree. That was an event that Pastor Phil covered last weekend in his message. And then Jesus begins teaching in the temple courts. And now the Jewish religious leaders of the day were called Pharisees, and they held significant influence and authority over the people. And they were irritated with Jesus because he would challenge their teachings and their religious practices. And he would often point out their hypocrisy and lack of true faith. And on this day in the temple courts, the Pharisees challenged the authority of Jesus as they had throughout all of his ministry. And then Jesus responds with three parables of judgment directed toward them. Now, the third parable, the parable of the wedding banquet, is similar yet different than the parable of the great banquet, which Pastor DJ covered 2 weekends ago in his teaching on Luke 14. And now the parable of the wedding banquet can be interpreted as a critique of the Pharisees, who rejected Jesus as the Messiah. This particular parable is more allegorical than most. And so if you remember back to your middle school English class, an allegory is a story in which a character, place, or event has a hidden or symbolic meaning. And so to understand the symbolism found in this parable, I thought it might be helpful to identify what some scholars believe to be the hidden meaning in this story. And while we can never fully define the vastness of Scripture or perfectly interpret a parable line by line, here is one point of view. So these meanings are actually listed in your bulletin as a quick reference guide, but here they are. The wedding banquet refers to the kingdom of heaven. The king refers to God. The son refers to Jesus. The invited guests are the people of Israel. The first servants are Hebrew prophets. The second and third sets of servants are Christian missionaries. The burned city means Jerusalem. The good and the bad refer to the righteous and unrighteous people. And then the wedding clothes refer to righteousness. And so with that background in mind, let's read the parable of the wedding banquet. So Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent out some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field and another to his business. The rest seized the servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Now, this parable was told as a wake-up call to the Pharisees, who thought that their knowledge and social standing and self-righteousness guaranteed them a spot in the kingdom of heaven. They considered themselves deserving of God's favor. And so they didn't think they needed a heart change. And therefore, they were unwilling to admit their faults. And what they didn't realize, and what Jesus was addressing through this parable, was that their pride and unwillingness to acknowledge their sin would eventually prevent them from entering the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus does with this parable is brilliant and bold, because he emphasizes the need for genuine faith and obedience to God's invitation, rather than relying on religious practices or self-righteousness. Matthew 22:14, "For many are invited, but few are chosen," emphasizes that although all are invited to follow Jesus and experience eternal life with him, only a few will truly respond. Because being chosen is not a matter of favoritism, but of our response to God's invitation. We get to choose whether or not we will follow Jesus into eternity on his terms through genuine faith, surrendering our will to his. Now, this past Christmas Eve, Pastor Phil made this statement that has stuck with me ever since. He said, "As powerful as Jesus is, the only thing he won't do for you is make you follow him. That's a choice every person needs to make for themselves." And just as this parable in its original context was a wake-up call for the Pharisees, it can also be considered a wake-up call for us to examine our hearts so that we might rightly respond and live out God's heavenly invitation of eternal life. Now, I see three main action items that we can take away from this parable as believers. The first is to respond to the invitation with humility. Friends, everyone is invited to the royal wedding banquet, yet none of us are actually worthy of this invitation. In Romans 3, we read, "There is no one righteous, not even one." That's pretty humbling, right? And then in verse 23 and 24, it states, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." We don't deserve his grace, and we certainly can't earn it, but we need to accept his invitation with humility and gratitude, which sounds so simple, yet there are plenty of excuses that stand in our way. And as we read in the parable, and as we see in our world today, we can easily forget the blessing of the invitation, like those who refused to show up. We can become indifferent toward the invitation, like those who paid no attention to it. Or we can get distracted by things in life. And what I find interesting in the text is that it alludes to things that are not necessarily bad things. In verse 5, it says, "But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business." These were simply the demands of day-to-day life that distracted them from attending the wedding banquet. And so how are you responding to this invitation in your life? The second action item for the believer is to share the invitation. The first invited guests were the people of Israel, many of whom refused. And so the invitation went far and wide into the streets, representing the spread of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And when I read this, I see that our God wants the wedding banquet filled with people. He will keep inviting and inviting the bad and the good, meaning everyone. And we are called to do the same. However, the invitation alone does not grant eternal admission into the kingdom of heaven. True faith is still required. And this is where the parable takes that interesting turn when the king finds a guest, a wedding crasher of sorts, at the wedding banquet who is not dressed appropriately. Now, this would have made sense to a first century audience because a king likely would have provided the wedding clothes for all the guests. And so you could not enter the party unless you had on the clothes. So this guest represents those who do not genuinely accept God's invitation and do not live a life transformed by the gospel. This guest was trying to enter by his own way without surrendering his will to God's will. And the wedding clothes represent the righteousness needed for believers to be in the presence of our King and our Father in heaven. And that is a gift that only the King can give by his grace. Isaiah 61:10 says, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness." And so with this parable, we have this beautiful reminder of the fact that not only does God forgive sins in Christ Jesus, but he also gives to us the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So when we accept this invitation and we actively and intentionally put on the proper clothes, God begins a work in us. He changes our heart and we are challenged to share the invitation and pass along his amazing grace. Now our third and final action item is to clothe yourselves in righteousness. The guest who lacked the proper wedding attire serves as a reminder that we not only accept the invitation, but we also live a transformed life by his grace. We are urged to put on the righteousness of Christ, demonstrating it through our actions and our attitudes. And so what does that actually look like when we put on the wedding clothes worn by God's chosen people? Well, Paul tells us in Colossians 3, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, gentleness, patience, bear with each other, and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful." Now, this passage illustrates why few choose to dress this way. Because the invitation of life in Christ is challenging. It's inconvenient. It requires something of us, like compassion, kindness toward people I may not like, humility to admit when I'm wrong, patience, forgiveness, loving that difficult person in your life, practicing gratitude. So friends, this is where the rubber meets the road if we claim to be a follower of Jesus. The phrase, "few are chosen," isn't meant to frighten us, but to encourage us to take seriously the challenges of Christian discipleship and to live a life transformed by the gospel. Because eternal life doesn't begin at death. Eternal life begins when we put our faith in Jesus. And when we continually put on the wedding clothes, the righteousness of Christ, it changes us. And we no longer obey his commands out of obligation, but rather out of a grateful heart for what he did for us on the cross. We get to serve him, and we get to give generously, and we get to experience the promise of eternal life right now. Friends, the Bible declares that there will be a royal heavenly wedding that will top all weddings. And we are all invited. Our big idea for today is simply you are invited. You're invited. And you get to choose how you will respond to this heavenly invitation. Know that God loves you. He is calling you, and he is for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have invited us to the wedding banquet, the marriage feast of the Lamb. Lord, we don't deserve to be there, but you want us there. You are for us. You have clothed us in your righteousness. Help us all to respond with humility and gratitude, orienting our lives toward you. It's in the precious and powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected throughout the week by following Montgomery Community Church on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about MCC, visit our website at mcc.church.